Hello everyone and welcome to Vassals of Kingsgrave. Today we're getting together to discuss the season 2 of Netflix's Glow, which is The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. This episode will contain spoilers for both seasons of Glow. I'm joined by Dana.
Dane Downer on the forums.
And Jon Snow.
This is Adam. Yeah, Jon Snow on the forums. And welcome to The Gorgeous Ladies of VOK, plus me.
That is a very good impression.
And of Bash, yeah. And we might be joined later by Michal and Mary. Okay, so lemon cake ratings for season 2. Dana, you want to go first?
4.5, easily. Yeah, 4.75. Loved it. Watched it very quickly. Yeah,
I think I went through it in a couple of days, I think. I couldn't stop watching.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where it's not like groundbreaking, fantastic TV, but oh my god, it's just so good all the way through, just deep down, and yeah, 4.75. I'll stick to that one.
And you, Adam?
I'll say like a solid 4.5. I think it was better than the first season. I liked it better than the first season. They definitely fixed a few of the things the first season I didn't like. And I think I watched like the first 2 episodes on the premiere night when it came out, and then I finished the whole season within a week. So yeah, I got through pretty quick. I was wanting to watch it. So it was a good mixture of, driving the story forward, some character focused episodes, and then the whole episode that was like an episode of the TV show, which was also kind of a fun aside.
Oh, I loved that episode.
I'd also give the season like a solid 4.5. I would have given it more, but there wasn't enough Machu Picchu in my opinion. So, yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, a few of the characters definitely felt like they just weren't able to serve their stories as well. Just didn't have enough time, They still gave everyone, they tried to give everyone, a few moments at least, but it just seems like they had to pick and choose.
Yeah. So what about any favorite moments from the season? Dana?
The Valley Girls' long conversations about constipation just entertained me way too much. I just thought it was just the weird shit that they do. Favorite moments? Oh, God, the ankle break, even though it was a horrible moment, it was one of those ones where I'm like, oh, I need to go to sleep right now, but I couldn't because I had to watch the next episode. Just because I was like, my goodness.
That was actually a really good moment because it sucked, but it felt really real and like everyone was in the moment. Like it was very believable, and you were like, well, shit.
Ooh, how like deeply like early 80s Ruth's bows facial hair is, like just so 1980s. Just
the porn stash?
The stash, yeah. I think I have photos of my father rocking that same like facial hair, and something about it. Not that it's a turn on, because I've just mentioned my father in that. It's just really 80s. I enjoy that aesthetic, because I think that sigh made it sound completely different from what I meant.
You have nostalgia for Tom Selleck. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, God. No, not even Tom Selleck. Like, it's just like delightfully 80s without. It's that kind of nostalgia where you're like, I'm glad we've moved on.
Have we? I work with a doctor, okay, who he saw I won't name any names, but he basically saw a show and he saw a character that had this big old handlebar mustache that was all twirly over, and he was like, I gotta do it. And so he's grown this mustache and it's like curls and it's just ridiculous, but he's like the most proud of it. Like he like won't go stop going on about it. It's crazy. Like, his wife hates it. Everyone hates it. And he's like, man, he's like, look, I had to get through the porn stash phase where I looked horrible. Now I look great. I'm like, well, you look different. But,
Okay, so Mary's here. Hi, Mary.
Hey, guys. Sorry for the delay. I'm here now.
Oh, we just got started. You want to share your lemon cake rating?
I didn't really think about this, but well, it's weird saying my ratings without knowing yours, guys. But
well, we all gave it like a 4.5 plus.
Yeah, I'm really happy with it. Yeah, I would give it a 5 just because. Yeah, I'm overall very happy with it.
Okay, and any favorite moments, episodes?
Well, I really, really shipped Sam and Ruth. It was like the main thing during season two. Other than that, really, the last few episodes were really intense. So I heard you guys mentioning the ankle break, and I really loved that scene too. And the way they all came to the hospital with Ruth, that was very nice. And the big, big screaming match between Ruth and Debbie was really intense too.
And you, Adam?
As far as what?
Favorite episode moment?
Oh, well, I mean, my favorite episode, I think, was probably episode 4.
Yeah, definitely.
Just because it was very character-driven, and we got to see kind of both characters as the mother and the struggles they deal with. And, I just think it brought a needed change of pace, and it really set a good tone for the rest of the season. But also, like, the season started off with a bit of a reset. Like, Ruth goes and she shoots that mall video, which is really cool, and then, gets kind of taken down for it, which is shitty. So, like, they kind of reset that whole dynamic.
Yeah, mine was definitely episode 4, where Debbie just loses it and sells everything. That's, I think. but also Tammy and her son, I think. I remember this very vividly from the first season, too, where she said, you know, I'm scared of what my son will think of this character that I'm portraying, going to such a great college as he is. And just to see it this season, how he reacts to it, it was a pretty great episode, I think. Okay, so do we just want to start off with the first episode?
Yeah, sure.
So Sam's definitely feeling insecure as a director. And when Ruth goes out and directs that video without, consulting him, he just loses it. And he totally takes it out on Ruth. Like, it wasn't her fault. She was trying to help him out. And he just, And he fired Reggie instead, who I really like. And she was the only one who stood up for Ruth. And she got fired instead. So that was horrible.
Yeah, and the video was really nice. Like, they clearly really had fun with it. And it was just Sam reacting because
he's feeling insecure.
Yeah, it's just very insecure, and
she calls him on it, like,
yeah, completely.
Yeah, I mean, at least she comes back later, but it's really shitty, and it's kind of nice, like, that whole mall video. I think, like, I don't know if you guys all watched the Netflix documentary on, like, the real Glow or whatever, but, like, I'm pretty sure that a lot of that's kind of, like, right out of stuff. The number of things they did this season is, like, right out of the actual videos and stuff they shot. So, I mean, it was kind of cool. And then when they get the security guard involved, because, of course, everybody wants to be on TV.
And I think one of the major things that was in this episode was the contract. When Debbie decides to renegotiate her contract and use, whatever little star power she has to get as much out of it as she can, but she doesn't warn anyone else that, they might be in trouble with the contracts that the network is giving them. But, she decides to take control.
Not even after she secures herself, she doesn't, like, tell anyone else.
Yeah, and they end up signing contracts that are absolutely horrible. Like, they totally take advantage of them.
Yeah, and even when they're canceled, they're like, you can't make it anywhere else because we own that shit. You're like, oh, of course.
Yeah.
Sets up, like, all the characters quite, like, at least Debbie and Sam, like, Debbie looking out for herself in understandable ways because of her kid and her divorce and all that kind of thing. But, Sam's insecurity, like, he refers to it at the movie cinema later on, but just being insecure. And they just keep it going the entire season. Like, when Russell's carrying Ruth, he's like, I could lift her. And they keep it going. I like that. It's not just one-off episodes. They keep the characters pretty consistent.
Okay, so Debbie is, like, really ecstatic that she gets to be a producer, but she doesn't know what she's in for. Like, it's totally, when she goes to the first meeting, it's a total guy's club. Like, she's not welcome at all. And I really feel for Debbie then. You know, she totally thought she was going to be, you know, in control, and she would have a say in everything that was going on. But it's just the usual.
And I mean, part of it is that it's a guy's club, and part of it's that she forced her way in, and they're just sort of like, fuck you, you know? Like, they warm up to her a little bit eventually, but I don't know if she was really going to expect that, like, she was just going to step in and have a huge role, if it was just going to be kind of like she got a producer credit and a few, you know, could make some calls here and there, but...
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I also think that it's mainly really because it's a guy's club. Like...
Oh, yeah, there's definitely
they
that.
They don't enjoy
definitely.
Her forcing her way into it, but I don't think they would have been that shitty about it if she had been a man.
Yeah, they probably would have come around pretty quickly. But if she had been, like, let's say she didn't force her way in and they'd offered it to her, they probably still would have been a bit standoffish about it, but less so. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, and in all of this show, basically, you can really see how unprepared for real life these women are, and the contract shows it. They're all like, well, I'm gonna sign it anyway, because they have no real way of defending themselves, except for Debbie, who just works her way to the top and try to to defend herself. But it's not easy when you don't know how to do it.
Right, because she's more experienced than the others, but she's still, like, what? She's just coming from, like, soap operas and stuff, right? So it's not like she's, like, some big Hollywood name. Like, she doesn't have that much power or experience. She has a little bit, but, you know, she shows, I think several times that she's, you know, she has some misconceptions and she is not quite in touch with the situation.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, she got killed off her soap, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But she has, like, more star power than the rest of them. The rest were just, like, failing actresses and, you know, they're all in desperate positions.
Or just nothing, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And she at least has something to bargain with. And we have a new member of GLOW, which is Yolanda, who's a great dancer. And she's replacing Cherry.
Yeah, and she's just, like, straight up just, oh, you're the new Junk Chain. Like, that's just it. I mean, I guess that they already got the costume.
Yeah.
Sort of, so... But it's just a little weird.
Well, I feel like I've heard of that happening in wrestling before, like where one wrestler assumes the identity of another. I can't think of any.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that happens, right?
But more of like when she comes back and they're like, oh, we got two of them. We'll figure it out.
I don't think
Cherry didn't really like that whole character in the first place, so it works out better for her, kind of, maybe. But, yeah, I mean, and it's like in soap operas, they would do that all the time. Like, the character of so-and-so is now played by this person, you know, because the show goes on every day and people move on and do other stuff. So people just roll with the punches.
I love Tammy. I think she's so great. When she realizes that the meeting that Debbie had arranged, Sam and Bash weren't going to that, so she decides to, you know, turn up and just kind of like help her out a little. It was great. I love her.
That was adorable.
Yeah, and it's so sad that she has to play such a terrible character. Like she's also been kind of strong armed into, you know, playing that very negative character. She's a great person.
Which, I felt it was great that they gave her the majority of that episode 4, you know, where she was able to see her son and bring him along, and they were able to confront kind of the problems with her character and, like, you know, call it out, but also just have her be like, look, I'm working, I'm making money, I understand what's going on, but, like, this is what I'm doing, and I still want my son to be proud of me, you know. So they definitely gave her, I think, a sufficient spotlight there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, actually, this is one of the things I wanted to see in the second season, and I'm glad that I did. Like, I'm glad they actually went in that direction. Oh, and the Biddies, I hate that. I haven't enjoyed their characters from the very beginning. And, you know, when they decide to steal Aarti's idea about how she's gonna, you know, break out of a cocoon and become, like, butterfly-like
thing. The Phoenix
thing.
Or whatever,
yeah. And they totally steal her idea, and it's so mean. And she's like, she has to play like a terrorist. But to be fair, they also have to play like these insane old ladies. But, you know, stealing from somebody else is not nice.
Yeah, because then he's like, oh, we already got the transformation thing. We don't need that again. Like, well, what? No. Yeah, you felt bad for, like, what if, okay, so what if, like, my character just dies and I make a new character? Like, no, we're not going to do that. Like, she's trying so hard. You're like, yeah, it sucks.
Okay, yeah, and Debbie announces, I think, that she's getting a divorce with Mark. And she's just, you can see her, like, debating that decision. Even after she's made the decision, she's still, like, going back and forth about whether she's doing the right thing. And I just thought that they captured that really well.
I love the conversation that she has with the secretary where she's like, is he getting, like, his new, not even partner, but even love interest, you know, his new fling to find out what bed we had because he liked fucking on it. And it's like, oh, no, he's not with the secretary. And, like, three episodes later, like, oh, he is with the secretary. That is that phone call. He is, like, good dad, dick person.
Oh, yeah. Also, Sam's becoming a dad. Like, he's a really terrible dad, but he's trying to be one.
That's just so sweet.
Yeah. And I thought Justine was a very sweet kid in the first season, but now she's, like, showing all of her, like, teenage angst and all of that in this season.
Yeah, but she still has, I mean, her relationship with Sam is just... It's weird, definitely. But it's also well, sweet. Like, they kind of understand each other in a weird way.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be weird when you've, like, kissed your dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like they played up the whole, her whole, like, rebellious stuff mostly just for, like, the father-daughter angle, you know, to kind of write that in there a little better. But.
Okay, and the PSA they decide to shoot.
That was hilarious. I thought that was. Oh, like, I love how they did a PSA in their own wrestling way. It was fantastic. All the things that would beat you down with the teen pregnancy, and then the head of the studio being a product of teen pregnancy. Fantastic. They just can't win.
Yeah, that was just bad luck.
So I don't think I've actually ever seen a PSA done. Like, I've seen the occasional very special episode of Saved by the Bell, because, you know, taking no-dos is bad. Thanks, Jesse. But did American TV have a lot of those? Is it an actual thing they're mocking, or did it happen occasionally and people just have a really big memory of it so they mock it, or did it happen a lot?
I think it happened more in the past, but I mean, I remember... They have them, you know, if you watch TV with commercials, so I think they still have them here and there, but not as, like, heavy-handed as they used to be.
We used to have Channel 9 PSAs that, you know, dinglings do stupid things, they don't think about this at all. Anyway, YouTube Channel 9 PSAs, it's delightful, because who knows, mom knows. So I guess PSAs do work. Wow, that's...
Say no to the drugs, kids.
Oh, and also we have Cherry's failing acting career. Like, she's so bad.
Is it easy for actors to do bad acting when they make a TV series?
I think it wouldn't have been that difficult in this case because she just had to, like, read monotonously, which I think is fairly easy to do.
Oh, it was just so bad. And then they do that horrible thing to her hair.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was a bad hairstyle. Like, it was bad. And I loved Cherry in the first season. But I feel like she didn't get, other than this, like, other than everything that happened in her other show, she didn't really get a lot of focus on Glow.
Until the junk chain off.
Yeah, and I felt bad that her show didn't work out. Like, I just kind of felt like they did that because, oh, we want to have her back. And I was like, well, that sucks.
I felt like at the end of the first season, I felt like it was going to be much bigger than it turned out to be. Like, there was going to be a whole, like, the other girls would feel betrayed that Sherry was leaving. And I don't know, they ended the first season on kind of a cliffhanger when she got the offer, the TV show. And I just felt like there was going to be more. But it turned out to be not so, you know, controversial.
Yeah, it kind of gave Sam another situation where he can... he shows like a little bit of his good guy-ness where he's like, no, I there is a workaround here. And you can come back and I can get you out of your contract.
Yeah, it's where he's the useful asshole.
Yeah, where I feel like in season one, he was not a useful asshole. He was just an asshole. Where in season two, there's quite a few situations where useful asshole, but just destructive
yeah,
asshole.
Yeah, but, he harnesses it.
This is a secret superpower. He's like Cyclops without the rose quartz glass in front of his eyes. Just, you know, concentrated asshole.
Oh my god.
Everywhere. And then you put the little visor on and you can focus it.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay, yeah. Okay, then there was the whole constipation storyline, which, you know, wasn't really very important to the plot.
But it was just hilarious. How many shows do you watch that is just like, you know, not that I talk about poop a lot with my female friends, but you can be pretty open about this and to have it just as true. Like, this is girl chat. This is what I'm used to. You know, it's not just passing tampons underneath the bathroom stall.
Oh, and this was the one that I really, really hated, Debbie, where Ruth is going out on a date with Russell and Debbie just forces her to stay. Like, she guilts Ruth into staying and finishing the PSA. And that was just very mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, if you hadn't fucked my husband, like, oh, gosh.
Yeah, I have sympathy for Debbie as, like, a mom and an employee and, like, trying to get jumpstart. I hate her as a friend. She's just so manipulative and self-centered. And yeah, she does love her son.
Yeah.
She has her moments and then she comes back, you know, I think is what it is.
But she comes back to being a bitch.
That's what I mean. She comes back to being like, oh, she's kind of worse. Whereas like Ruth was kind of, you were like, oh, she's kind of a dick, like in the first season, like, you know, she's sleeping with her friend's husband. And like, you know, there were a few instances where you're like, oh, but like this season, I don't like,
uh-huh, like she does,
you know, anything negative for her.
To make up for what she did in the first season.
She's really just trying to, yeah. She's just trying to make things right. And then she, you know, they basically gets the show canceled because the guy, like, traps her and is like, well, we're going to sleep together, right? We're going to have dinner in my hotel room. You're like, what the fuck? And then I don't know who that little swirly executive guy is. I don't know what his position is, but he's like, oh, yeah, let me go get the menu. Like, he totally knows what's going on. Like, what an asshole. You know what I mean? Like, I thought he was just sort of like, he's just like kind of a stooge. But I'm like, oh, no. You're doing that shit. Like, you're,
this is
you're
the one where Sam
asshole.
Turns out to be like really, a really decent guy, where he goes and just trashes Tom Grant's car.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, and Debbie, she was the worst when, you know, when Ruth comes out and tells her that Tom Grant, you know, made a move on her, and she says, you know, I ran away. And Debbie says, you should have slept with him because now we're being punished for it.
Oh, yeah.
And exactly. Yeah. Oh, I hated Debbie.
She's like, yeah, why didn't you do that? How dare you? Yeah. Ugh. Whereas Sam was like, oh, well, that's good news because at least I know it's not my fault. Like, I was worried I'd fuck things up, but no, it's just some asshole.
That was great. You know, that was sucks. I enjoyed that.
I'm gonna go beat the shit out of his car.
Yeah, I found that interaction interesting, as in Debbie's probably being put in a similar situation. Oh, she says, like, you know, you just do what you always do and kind of flirt your way out of it. And it's like the Bridget Bardot of Glow, of just being able to willfully ignore other women's experiences just because you didn't have it as bad or you didn't react in the same way, and you were able to feel like you had a tiny bit of control in that situation, where Ruth was aware that she had no control in that situation and got herself out. And oh god damn it, Debbie, just hate you so much this season. And what the hell, Glow? I mean,
you wonder kind of, like, I mean, you're saying, like, do you think she's going to stick around for Vegas sort of thing? Does she really have other options? I guess it depends on how much money they end up making.
Yeah, but, and I think it'll depend on the time they have to.
Because they were viewing it as, like a step leaving, down, but
Debbie's leaving the baby behind, right? So
yeah, well, I would assume she'd have to take the kid with her, but I don't know. I mean, I think, like, for the plot, they obviously want her around, so I'm sure she'll be in the next season and all that. But I just, as a character, it feels like she'd probably be like, let me just try to get a different job, you know?
Mm-hmm. She doesn't seem as emotionally invested as the others.
How did Glue make me, like, make me, actually ship, like, Ruth and Sam? At the end of season one, I did not expect by the end of season two to be shipping this.
Yeah.
Surprise ships, you kill me. Got all excited. I was all invested. It was adorable, and I loved it. The cute little conversations.
Yeah, but I feel like I enjoyed more when they're antagonizing each other.
I didn't expect it.
I think that's more fun to watch.
I think it's part of it in a weird way.
Do we want to go back and discuss episode 4? If anyone has anything more to say about it. Yeah, I feel like I've already said enough about it.
Oh, yes, yes. When they're on the campus and people keep saying hello, but like the wrong name. Engineering student. Oh, my goodness. And I just love Hassan and like his reaction, like mildly horrified, but in the end, he's just like, you threw her like, across the thing. Like, it never, like, when did you get so strong? You're just like lifting your ass all the time, like running after you.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so lovely, and it's just this nice, mature, maternal relationship that is just lovely. And even when you see her talk to, like Tammy talk to the lady in the drive-thru, and just that kind of mom's in it togetherness, loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I love that the fact that you can still tell, like, at the end of that episode that he's like, I'm not really okay with this, but I also realize I need to support my mom, and it's her decision, and, like, I'm going to focus on what's cool, and, you know, I know that she needs support right now, because no one knows she's doing this, and she's been doing it alone, because she's been afraid of, you know, my reaction, right? So, yeah, I like that you can kind of tell both, you know, coming from him in that moment.
Ooh, and when Terry breaks the sponsor's chair over someone, and they're just, was that that episode? I feel like it was that episode, actually. It made me crack up, and just Bash in the background, just like, keeping the sponsorship going, which is not working.
The part at the end of the... the show recording where, you know, Tammy gets shouted out of the ring. It was just so sad to watch. It was horrible.
Physically uncomfortable watching that. I just,
yeah, completely.
And it happened because Debbie's a bitch.
I also feel for her in this episode.
Just bring it back to Debbie. It's all her fault.
Yeah, she's like, just take it all away.
Yeah, where she's like selling everything in the house and... because her husband's secretary / new girlfriend wants to know what type of fucking bed they have.
Oh my god.
Just like, I don't need that. Are you shitting me?
How much time does they actually have to prep for the day? Because, like, that seemed like a really big
day. Was it all just
day.
One day?
This is cellular stuff, and I have no idea. Like, I think at the beginning she mentions, like, when she's dropping the kid off, that she has to get ready for work. So, like, you see her paint her nails, and she gets the phone call, mm-hmm. and then she's drinking wine and selling things.
And she's just giving it all away. It doesn't matter.
I think it was supposed to be one day. Yeah, at the end of it, yeah.
Okay, so the chair-breaking incident also causes, like, the obviously the sponsors to withdraw their sponsorship, which is understandable.
Hey, your furniture should not break over someone's head like that.
So the ladies decide to have... a meet and greet after, you know, they have, like, terrible ratings and no sponsors and everything. Is this where we see Cupcake for the first time?
I'm not sure we do. Maybe it is, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cupcake.
Yeah,
oh,
so
God.
Uncomfortable. Like, they were totally exploiting the poor guy.
Too.
Like, he was a stalker, but, you know, he was kind of innocent, too.
Pervert.
Kind of, but come on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and this is the comeback of Florian. At least we hear about him. Bash is looking for him, but he can't find him.
Yeah.
I really liked this storyline. It was very sad, but by the end of it, the story that they, like, the little drips and drabs, well, not little drips and drabs by the time you get to the gay bar and you're like, oh, okay, this is the early 80s, but how he finds out that, you know, he was paid some money to go away, like, to go on holiday, but you probably realize he's given probably a large amount of money. One, be away from Bash because
the mom.
Bonnie is a, or Birdie.
Yeah.
What is her name? I don't know, like a really waspy old woman name.
Birdie. It's always like it's Birdie.
Yeah. I could have said Bonnie, and I feel like that's convincing as well. Like, it's wasps. Birdie, you know, to either be away from Bash or to get treatment. And then, oh, God, at the end where, like, as soon as, like, the phone is like, yeah, you might have problems finding, like, a mortuary to take him.
Yeah, and that's what I was like, Like, because I was, the whole season, I was kind of confused as to what was going on. And then I realized when they said that, I was like,
yeah.
Because it was, like, the peak of, like, the AIDS scare and people didn't know what was going on, right? So.
Yeah, like, we're still, like, a decade away at that time. And the deep cleaning of the house and just getting rid of everything just because people didn't understand
right.
at all. And, oh.
And it was a scary thing that killed a bunch of people and they had no idea. You know, they thought if you touch the same spoon, you know, you get it or something. Like, people just didn't know.
Mm.
And then there was the whole, you know, homophobic, you know, gay stigma and everything. Yeah, so it was just kind of a shitty time to come down with that.
At least Britannia and Machu Picchu got to have fun at a gay bar.
Yeah, they totally had fun. Like, they enjoyed it. Like, they loved dancing there. They didn't care. It was just guys.
But yeah, I did like that. So, not like it. It was a nice way to do a little storyline and to explain why Florian wasn't away. It was away, and yeah. Poor Bash. But now I'm very convinced that Bash is coming out and, like, by the end of next season. Gotta happen.
I didn't know if that was happening. I kind of thought he was, and then I thought he wasn't, so I don't really know.
Yeah, he does it claim to love Rhonda, but that wasn't very believable.
But, like, that doesn't... Yeah, I was like, I didn't really buy that, but...
Okay, so, because of Ruth not giving in to Tom Grant, the show gets moved to a 2 a.m. slot.
Where all the kids will watch it.
Yeah. And this I feel like was the one moment that Carmen had to shine, really. Where, you know, Sam and Bash think that it was because the wrestlers weren't working hard enough. And everyone starts to fight and Carmen just starts screaming at them all. And she just straightens them out. And it's wonderful to watch. Because she's such a soft-spoken character. That it's kind of nice to see her take control.
Yeah.
And that everyone listens to her. It's so nice.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. They're like, oh, no, we did bad. We did bad. And, like, when Cherry's like, oh, no, I'm going to steal that person's move. And, yeah, Carmen's like, oh, I don't think so. Oh, probably shouldn't. And, like, by the end, oh, her brother making her wear that shirt. It's the most brotherly retribution I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, yeah, use my moves, and then, like, it kind of ended up well. It was cute. You know, he played along.
They ended up helping them along.
And they, it's, like, I guess, or by the end of, like, season one, that she had, like, a little bit of acceptance by her family, but during that fight, there was times where her brother's like, no, fucking props. Do well. Which I liked. It was cool.
Yeah.
More fights. The fights were really good this scene, actually, this season, actually. There was times where it was like, I got way too invested, but I did used to watch wrestling, so maybe that's why it's going to suck me back in.
Yeah, you get, you, once you start watching all, like, the familiar moves, you get invested.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and this is the point where...
And I love a training montage. I could just have, a training montage every second episode. Fucking love it when they're learning new stuff and they're all, like, trying it out, like, on their beds.
I mean,
and,
the 80s was kind of montages, thing. So...
Yeah. Okay, so then we have Debbie breaking Ruth's ankle.
Because she's a selfish bitch. Oh. They nick someone else's coke. Just because you find someone else's drug does not mean
she
you take
stole
them.
The coke. That's the bad thing, right?
That's your biggest problem, Dana.
If I leave my packet of cigarettes around and I say someone can have one and they take two, I get pissy. If I was going to leave anything in there and you're going to take any of it, no. Reimbursement, please. and then because you can't handle your high, you break your friend's ankle.
She has a lot of She has anger issues.
She's on that cocaine rage.
Oh, and she's just so fucking self-righteous in the hospital. Like, it's not her fault. And then she kind of admits it, but after having a massive blow-up, where you're just like, you just broke someone's ankle. Why are you being self-righteous?
Yeah, there's a big difference between whether someone doubles down on a bad deed or whether they're repentant, you know?
Okay, so when Ruth breaks her ankle, there's Sam and Russell have this little catfight about who's going to pick her up. And then when they get to the limo, I don't remember which one it is, which one of the ladies it is, but she's like, yeah, back off. We're taking her to the hospital. And I love that.
Yeah.
Even before that, like when Sam's actually filming because he's let Justine do the director stuff because he finds out that she's in AV club and he has a little like, I was in AV club. She did a director's job tonight. And it's the only reason he's on the floor with the camera. But yes, I love, like, yeah, Melrose. Which hospital they were going to. And she's like, no, I'm a Jew. We're going to, like, Mount Sinai or whatever it was. Or Cedar. I don't
know. Oh, yeah. Them arguing over the hospitals is a very, like, Southern California thing. But, like, I mean, L.A., obviously. But, yeah. Okay. Crack me up.
I love how, like, and they're just like, no, we're not going anywhere. We're staying. And when they entertain her, when she's in pain and doing all different things.
Oh yeah, and everyone just stays there. That was so great. Like nobody goes home.
What another wonderful montage.
Oh yeah, the Debbie and Ruth have that like huge fight where they're both screaming. Sam finally realizes that he can't do the show without Ruth.
Yeah, finally. He's like, look, I actually need you. Sorry, I'm an asshole.
Yeah. And she gets to be co-director.
Yeah, he's like, fuck it, we're about to be cancelled. It's Christmas for everybody.
And she, Ruth gets him to hire back Reggie, finally.
Oh, yeah. And that's when it goes, and then after that we get the whole, the Good Twin episode. That's like an episode of the show.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, that was weird.
I'm going to save my personality on this floppy disk. I mean, I didn't really watch a lot of wrestling. I mean, that's the sort of thing they did back in the 80s, probably? I don't know. I mean, it seems like it.
I hope not. But, yeah.
I mean, wrestling's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. I remember some very crazy storylines. There was one where...
Stone Cold?
Stone Cold? What?
No, you share your wrestling story. I remember...
I remember Kane being obsessed with... Lita, I think, was it? Lita was, I don't know, Jeff Hardy or Matt Hardy's girlfriend, and Kane becomes obsessed with her. And they have, like, I don't know, it's weird. He abducts her and brainwashes her or something. I don't know, I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people get kidnapped in wrestling. They're like, I've got your women and stuff. They do that a lot, like...
Oh, and on the show, And I think Triple H and Stephanie McMahon got, like, married drunk in Vegas or something. Like, she was... No. I think she was unconscious or something. I don't know. It was very creepy.
This is
creepy.
A good place.
These were, like,
I'm marrying
actual storylines.
She's not
already...
here, but we're having a sea lion stand in for her.
They did eventually get married in real life. But this was, I think this is before.
Right.
Yeah, this was just like a short storyline.
Yeah, to me, it's like when you talk about wrestling, it's like Hulk Hogan, the Macho Man, and The Rock. That's probably all I get, you know? Like, that's the wrestling that I kind of remember bits of. It's like, oh, yeah, you know?
It's embarrassing that I remember these storylines.
The weirdest one I remember is Stone Cold Steve Austin shaved Kurt. What's his name? Kurt Angle? Kurt Angle?
There was a Kurt
Angle. There we go. Yeah, shaved his head, and then he went kind of crazy, was wearing a wig, and then Stone Cold stole it, and he was all sad.
Why you take my wig, bro? Oh, fight.
I was like, no, he didn't shave my head. I still have hair. Look at my luxurious hair. And then Stone Cold was like, no, I shaved your head, and I stole your wig.
That sounds right.
She's crazy who came up with those.
I feel like the writer for wrestling and the writer for kids' TV shows, that's got to be like the easiest writing job, right? Like, nothing has to make sense. It can just be ridiculous, yeah. Terrible dialogue. It's fine.
I think it happens very similar to what happens in the show. Like, the wrestlers actually get to pitch storylines to the showrunners, and then they can, if they approve it, they can, like, go ahead with it. So, it's not like one writer is writing all of
right.
them. It's like,
and they probably improv a decent bit of it. They just have an idea and just sort of go on with it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so this is when, Zoya's identical twin sister turns up on a goat. Oh yeah, and Cherry takes on the persona of Black Magic, which was a character she used to seduce her husband, and she decides to make that her wrestling.
Yeah, it was like their like sexy time foreplay.
Exactly.
It's like her
some intense foreplay.
Yeah.
Also makes it really weird to wrestle when like the umpire or referee has like an erection that's essentially being classically conditioned, because every time he hears that voice he's like, I'm gonna get some.
I think they're probably into it. I think they're both enjoying this whole setup.
Exactly. Like, it's just, like, the longest recorded foreplay for them.
Oh, and the child kidnapping PSA was hilarious. Like, they were thinking about, don't kidnap a child. Yeah. The fact that they have to test people.
In the 80s style of, like, group songs, you know, everybody yeah. having a group song for a cause. Yeah. Hands across America. Oh, we get, the mom comes down, right?
Oh, yeah. She's Justine's watching Glow, and she realizes Justine is
at
with her dad.
Morning.
Yeah.
Which, she might I mean, be I in guess makes zone, sense. So. But he never knew about her, right?
Yeah, he didn't. It was like a one-night stand or something.
Which is pretty shitty. And, you know, he's trying to be cool about it. And, like, I don't know. She's just, like, wants her daughter back. But, like, her daughter's been gone for, like, a year?
Yeah, and she didn't seem overly worried.
No, she's like, oh, I'm not going to really look for her. But, oh, if I see her on the TV, then...
Then I'm going to fight for her.
I'll go find her. Well, that was convenient. Fits into my schedule. Like, yeah. Whatever.
It's it like Justine this season. She called out other teenagers on the hypocrisy. Gotta love a good mosh pit fight as well. She did well. She did very well in that mosh pit fight.
Yeah. I just want to sell the merch. No. No. Selling the merch is not the fun part. So, yeah. Her and the pizza boy. That was a little weird. But.
Oh God, he has such the most punchable face. Just something about his face, I just... God, if there was a horse trough, I would probably hold him under it for a little bit. Not to kill him, but just, he just has a punchable face.
I don't know if maybe I would just say have it... the most punchable. I mean, have you seen, what's his name, Miles Teller?
Oh, yes. Sorry, I actually described him as the, it was like that horrible Fantastic Four film. And the guy you actually want to punch
yeah.
in it, because no one wants to punch Jamie Bell and no one wants to punch Michael B. Jordan.
And I don't want to punch that dude made of rock, because, like,
yeah.
that hurt. But definitely him, like, every time you see him.
And I'm too afraid to, like, punch Toby Kebbell because, you know, Kibble? I don't know. Because Black Mirror, and he scared me in it. So, you know, Miles Teller, punchable face.
Yeah, but not that Miles Teller, I mean, he's usually just kind of like an asshole in most stuff, so... He's easily punchable. Whiplash was really good.
Okay, enough punching. But...
We are talking about wrestling, so clothesline. Easily clothesline.
Okay, so Justine's mom comes back. The show is getting close to the finale, and the ladies all realize they're going to have to get jobs. Rhonda mentions that she doesn't have a social security number, and this was probably my least favorite episode. Because they come up with the very shocking plan of getting her married to an American national. Yeah. And they realize that the best option is her stalker. This is probably the only one they can convince to get married to her.
Well, it is like the wrestling version of Andy McDowell marrying like Gerald Depardieu in that Green Card movie. It's the wrestling version of that. It's fine. That's a weird reference. Has no one else seen that film? Okay.
Yeah, green card weddings are a thing. I think maybe they were more common back then, easier to get go under the radar. Now. You know. Well, I mean, if you're here in America and you marry someone, it's like prove we're not in love. You know what I mean? That's pretty hard to do. That's too much work. They're pretty lazy about it. But how was she getting checks and stuff?
Early 80s, probably being paid in cash, or you can cash checks at places. And they cash them for you, so you just...
Because maybe it's different now, because, like, any employer, you have to like, put in a social security number and all this tax information and stuff. Maybe it wasn't as regimented back then. But I know people still get away with it now, I think mostly because they're doing, like, work-for-hire contract work. Maybe that's, like, they're not employees of the station. Maybe it's, like, the production company. And Bash just, like, you know, is not really on top of that shit.
Yeah, he doesn't seem
to be. Well, he did forget to pay Florian, so, you know.
Yeah.
Don't think he remembers all the things.
Okay, so Justine's mom comes back. She tries to take Justine home immediately. Sam and Ruth convince her that she should go to a dance, the school dance. And that's where Sam meets the strip club owner guy, who eventually makes the offer. So yeah, it turned out to be...
I forgot about him.
You never know who you're going to meet at your while chaperoning.
And this is also when Sam makes a move on Ruth, which he doesn't take well.
Mm. Nope.
Yeah. I was already cringing. Like, I knew what was about to happen. And I was like, don't do it. And he did it anyway.
She's I don't like, know. I'm with porn stars.
John Hughes movies. All these John Hughes movies make school dances seem pretty darn magical, so maybe just the whole thing was overpowering.
Do they do school dances down there?
In California?
No, in Australia?
Okay. Yeah. Like year 12 school ball, but they tried. I don't know.
I've never been to a school dance that was like legit, so you know, they were all kind of like, you know, especially like junior high and high school and stuff. It's mostly just people chill. Like, yeah, it's like every wedding on TV is 500 guests and like $200,000 and looks baller. And it's like every school dance, they spend the most money and everyone's having fun and all the punch is spiked. I'm just like, where were these at?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, it doesn't really exist in France.
I feel like people only have, like, school balls, so you just go to afters and drink.
And do I really need to tell you that there aren't any in Pakistan?
No.
Well, I mean, there are now. Well, to be fair, there are now, but, yeah, back in the 80s. There were probably, actually, back in the 70s, there probably were school dances and stuff, because they were, like, really liberal back. And then the 80s happened.
Yeah, I went to a small... private school, so it was only like 80 people in my year group, so we didn't really have school dances because everyone knew everyone and but I think the schools might and I know what the late 70s, because my mom was a country kid, they had like country week where it was like just they did that kind
line
of...
dancing.
No, it was a lot more sports, and you know, I have no idea what else. I don't want to know what else. But because they would all get together and have, sports and dances and that kind of thing. But I have no idea. I just don't feel like I would be so disappointed to go to an American, like, dance and then not be, like, at some point, millions of balloons coming from the ceiling.
Or bubbles.
Or a time traveler teaching us about music.
Yeah.
Okay, and
the future subplot. Oh, I always forgot that. Where, he essentially makes the sex version of Back to the Future, or tries to pitch it. Anyway.
Bash is told that Florian has died. from. It's implied that he's died from AIDS, or is it mentioned? I can't remember.
I thought it was implied. I must have missed it if they said it outright.
Yeah,
I think when they say that they had to pay the mortuary to take his body, I think that's a pretty clear indication that it was AIDS.
Because morticians don't have to deal with horrible things like chemicals that are going to give them cancer in a few short years, but, you know, AIDS, can't deal with that.
Well, there are safest, I mean, I guess people didn't really know how to, you know, do that in a safe way back then, but now they do, so.
Yeah, but now we're still really cautious. Anyone that has any sort of bloodborne pathogen is like, you know, people still get real paranoid about it. Like, just like, I work in surgery, and just as an aside, like, this was like weeks ago, but we had a patient that had AIDS. And so, like, when you hand, like, the doctor the knife and stuff, you just hand it to him back and forth. And they have this thing called, like, a safety zone, which is just like a little orange square you can put out where, like, you put the sharp objects, and then so you're not passing them between each other. And I've been doing this for years now, and I've never once used that until a few weeks ago. The doctor was like, oh, they've got AIDS. Yeah, let's not pass directly. I was like, okay. Like, I'm not going to cut you any more than I have, you know, any other of the thousands of times I've done this, but okay. You know, so people still get kind of paranoid about it.
Yeah. That's understandable. Anyway.
Yeah, back to the pleasant stuff. Let's talk about early 80s. AIDS. Okay. Yeah. And the poor, like, that, like, I keep wanting to refer to him as Piz, but that's just because I watch way too much Veronica Mars. But his little Piz is just crushed. Yeah. My partner actually, even though he watches Glow but has never watched Veronica Mars, he'll refer to him as Piz just because I keep forgetting Bash's name and refer to him as Piz. How fucking hard is it? It's not, but, you know, I still get confused. It made watching House of Lies, like, terrifying because I'm like, Veronica, what are you doing? But I get it. Don Cheadle's magnetic.
Okay, so Justine leaves and Ruth officially becomes the co-director. And, oh, yeah, and this is where we learn about Arthi and Yolanda relationship, which hasn't really started out yet, but Arthi seems pretty clear on the fact that she has feelings for Yolanda.
Oh, yeah, yeah, she's very clear on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So that's probably one thing we're going to see in the next season, I'm assuming.
I'm hoping.
Yeah, and then we have the wedding. That everyone was looking forward to.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and this seemed, like, really forced to me. Like, when Bash suddenly objects to it and says that he's been in love with her for a while now. It just, I don't know, there haven't been any hints to that before, so I guess that's...
Oh, there hasn't, but I believe this is Bash, like, trying to establish his... heterosexuality.
Established,
like,
dominance.
Yeah. I'm going to marry a woman because I'm gay. I'm not confused what I've learned about my best friend.
Yeah, now that you mention that, that's probably a good way to look at it. Because I just thought when he was like, you don't have to do this, I thought he was going to be like, look, I'm the boss, I can take the hit, just marry me. But then he was like, oh, I'm totally in love with you. I was like, wait, what? Like, I thought he would just be like, as friends, marry me, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, like, rather than this creep, you know, that would have been kind of sweet. But then he's like, yeah, like, just marry me. And, like, we've got the marriage license, which has a different name on it, so that's not how it works, but whatever.
You know, and you can
got
tell...
the marriage license already, just do me instead.
Yeah, and you can tell that Rhonda is, like, really uncomfortable, because this is news to her.
Right, because with the geek dude, like, she probably could just be like, yeah, we're not sleeping in the same bedroom. And with him, it's sort of like, oh, yeah, marry me instead. But also, like, there's this expectation of, like, well, I'm confessing to you. And that's just, like, a little awkward.
I mean, she was already... It was already awkward with the creep guy. But, yeah. I mean, she wasn't very into it and very sure either.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like Bash could have had a really good excuse to marry her, just to be like, I think you're gonna end up cut into little bits with him, you know, in a basement somewhere.
Yeah, so we'll see where that goes. I don't feel like she's into it. I don't know if he's really into it, but like I said, I mean, it totally would have made sense for me to be like, hey, he's like, well, look, I got nothing better to do, just marry me, you know. Like, mm-hmm. if he was just that, like, yeah, I could do this. Sense. Yeah, yeah. I was yeah. like, okay, that's kind of, you know, that works. But, yeah. You know, we'll see.
Oh, and then we have, like, the big fight, the Battle Royale style fight after the bouquet throwing. And I actually really enjoyed this fight, especially when Carmen's brother shows up. So it's really great.
And Zoya finally gets the crown.
Yes.
She totally cheats. Champion. But yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really know what was going on for most of this fight. And then in the end, she like ziplines in. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they get like the punch in the stomach, you know, or Glenn does. They're like all really excited that Glow's going to get picked up by another network. And then Glenn tells them that, yeah. Not happening.
It's screw you guys. Like, that sucks.
We didn't discuss when Debbie and Bash went to that networking thing and, you know.
That little rumor campaign. Did you hear Glow is so hot right now? That was great.
Yeah. And they got, like, a lot of great offers.
There's no internet. Like, there's not a lot of communication back then. This is the sort of thing that could totally work. Whereas nowadays, they would just Google it and go, hey, those are the Glow people.
LinkedIn will fuck you over that way. Yeah. Gonna love the power dressing and the confidence. It was, yeah. Although, only one videotape. Like, when they go in and they have their little booth and everyone seems, like, so high-tech and so, but it's so low-tech. And the mobile phone. Oh,
I remember the like, mobile
phone. Zach, man. Zach Morris, yeah. That mobile phone.
They would have got, like, one call and then the battery would have died and it had to be on charge for 5 hours. But we can pretend.
Okay, and then we just have them end the season where they're leaving for Las Vegas. And that's it.
Porn stash and the baby stay behind.
Yep.
Everything goes according to plan.
Exactly.
Any concluding remarks, anyone?
I could not deal with like Yolanda's visible lip liner.
Yeah, it was annoying.
I'm not sure what you just said.
So it's like, it's this horrible
where the lipstick is like yeah, dark. The lipstick is like a shade different from the lip liner. So you can tell where one ends and the other begins.
Oh, there's like two different things. Jeez, I can't.
Yeah. No, you got it. There's like two different shades going on. It just doesn't, yeah, I don't like it.
Oh, talking about makeup and glow, the entire season, I'm just like, how did they get that amount of glitter to stick to their faces? Because if I tried to do that, my face would be mostly glitter, like it would be all down my cheeks.
Uh-huh, like, right?
How often are they like, cutting and then like, you know, cleaning up their faces a little bit and like, okay, next scene, like say three words, okay, you moved around too much, brush it off, try again.
yeah
I have to say, as a closing remark, I do agree with Dana that Deb is a bitch and I didn't like her and I was frustrated with her, basically.
Mm-hmm. True.
Debbie.
Yeah.
That's all. I just, I left a lot today, but I agree with that.
Okay, so here's a question. Who's your favorite character now at the end of season two? Like, who's the person that you like the most?
I feel like Ruth is a very endearing character. Like, the more you get to know her, the more you like her.
Completely, yeah. I have to say, like, I really
Justine
like...
Or Bash.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, Justine, I really liked this season just because she was so different. She wasn't trying to, she was still hiding something, but I liked all of her scenes with Sam and her scenes with, like, other teenagers. And, yeah, I liked her character a lot more and her wanting to stay and all that. So, because at the end of season one, I'm like, you're just, like, a really weird teenager. Like, you need help.
Yeah.
Especially after your dad tried to kiss you, like, please get help. I don't think,
yeah, she's cool. I like Ruth, but I think, I don't know, Sheila might be my favorite just because she's so weird. Like, I never know what's going on with her.
Uh-huh. Oh, when she eats the goat. Oh, tries no. to get frisky with her. And she's like in bed eating it. Oh.
I wouldn't say Sam is like the person I like the most, but I really, 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 really enjoy his interactions with just everyone. He's sweet, and then he's an asshole, and then he's just, I mean, it's, I really yeah. enjoy him.
And Marc Maron is like perfectly cast for this. Like, he does mm-hmm. a good job.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the self-aware prick, where self-aware enough to know what you're doing is wrong, but yeah, not like motivated enough to change it, which I just, I like that.
Like when him and, when he goes to see his movie, his like old movie, and then Ruth is there, so he's like, whatever, just, you know, they sit together, and then like there's the students from the AV club or whatever, and he's like explaining some of the shit he did, and then he's like, oh, I don't remember this. And, like, you know, he's like, I don't know if I did this shit, man, it's crazy back then.
And the non-anal birth, I just, it was like one sentence, and I'm like, I don't even know how you would film that.
Like,
what
are you talking about? In the movie, he's like, when they're sitting down, one of the things they mention is like the nun giving birth anally to something, I think. And it's,
what? I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's when he's talking about like the grinder at the beginning and like all the weird stuff that they did. He's like, I didn't even remember that. And oh, like, we're right, sitting there right. and just like,
yeah.
Ooh. I had. Thanks to that one line, I then went into the deep dive of nunsploitation, which is terrifying. Thanks, Italy.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, like 1970s Italian horror films. Yeah, it's
at like it's at like nunsploitation,
and obviously, it's like kind of like a horror sex film that Italy was a massive fan of. They did lots with Nazis.
Well, you know what, it makes Italy, that does make sense, because yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they had like this big like horror niche in the 70s that was, yeah, Nazis and nuns and weird things.
Okay, so thank you for joining us, everyone.
Find us on... killed the conversation.
what did you expect?
Fuck video killing the radio star. Nunsploitation kills everything, including burgers.
And my outro. Okay. Thank you for joining us, everyone. You can find us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and on our web WordPress page, vokpodcast.wordpress.com. And you can always find us on the podcast of Fire Forum. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Nadia.
Thanks, Nadia.
Thanks. Whatever it takes.